We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
This season, Instacart has your back to school. As in, they've got your back to school lunch favorites like snack packs and fresh fruit. And they've got your back to school supplies like backpacks, binders, and pencils. And they've got your back when your kid casually tells you they have a huge school project due tomorrow. Let's face it, we were all that kid. So first, call your parents to say, I'm sorry. And then download the Instacart app to get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes all school year long. Get a $0 delivery fee for your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're darn right. It's all things Skeens today. I left for vacation, 10 days ago? And he's only gotten bigger. The no-hitter. Would you have kept him in, by the way, Bob?
Me, personally, I understood why he didn't. I would have kept him in one more inning just to see. He had a six-pitch inning the inning before. Pretty efficient work. I probably would have let him go one more just to see. But the other thing you have to consider, if this was a 6-0 game, I think they might have just rolled with him a little bit and see what happens. Because it was 1-0, and Derek Shelton said he looked tired, which – I didn't see tired. I saw an efficient six-pitch inning, you know.
Yeah.
But I guess, you know, he made the right choice in that they won, although they almost blew it. Holderman had the bases loaded before he got the final out of that inning, so.
I'm fine with it for now, and I'll tell you why. Is that I want Skeens to believe that, and you know, it may very well be true, that we have his best interests in mind. But should it become clear over the next couple of years that he's absolutely not signing an extension here, mm-hmm. I'm running the wheels off. I'm going to the Willie Parker plan then. I'm going 115, 125 pitches every time out. And I'm not sure that's the worst thing anyway, by the way. And he absolutely could have gone on in that game. His efficiency had increased. He was just rolling. And this whole idea that you're going to save a guy's arm, elbow, shoulder long term by cutting down some innings here and there is totally unproven. If anybody knew what they were doing with this extra vigilant arm care that's been going on for years and years,
right,
then we would see results. Instead, we're seeing an epidemic that, according to a lot of people's, worse than it ever was. So whatever they're doing's wrong. That's the logical conclusion I draw from all that. Whatever they're doing is wrong. They have no idea what they're doing. I'm talking about baseball people at large who think they're protecting young pitchers' arms by taking them out of no hitters and saving them 20 pitches. I see no evidence, and neither does anybody else, because it doesn't exist that babying pitchers saves them from Tommy John or long-term injury.
Yeah,
nobody
really knows. I said it the other day. I was looking through some old articles of things, and I saw that Nolan Ryan once had 258 pitches in a 13-inning game. Harvey Haddix back. I'm going to go back. Of course, they didn't have the kind of technology they do today. But I think it's fair to assume that nobody knows why this happens. You can think it happens because you're using a lot of, fastballs and putting strain on your arm. But a lot of this goes all the way back to high school. They're doing it maybe too early. Maybe that's the reason.
I've come to believe you're either predisposed to get injured at some point or you're not. And you could throw a billion pitches and not, or 20 per game and still get injured. That's what I've come to believe. And there's no scientific data to refute what I believe either. You know?
No, so. They want to be careful. I think it goes beyond just because of a potential. It's the money involved. Everyone's afraid that if you push someone too hard and then all of a sudden there's a problem with an arm,
yeah,
that you're costing them money, and that's a lot of money.
Especially for someone who's, for all we know, it could be the other way around.
Right,
I love this guy with
the
mustache, Bob, who looks like Tom Selleck that does all the golf stuff. What's his name?
Yeah.
He went out with DeChambeau after, was it the Open that DeChambeau just won?
Smiley Coffin's with CBS, I think. And this is, who is this? He went in when DeChambeau went into Sand Trap. And
they went
shot.
In later at night, and he tried to recreate the shot, and DeChambeau happened to see him and came over and analyzed his shot, this guy, and it made for one of the greatest golf TV segments I've ever seen.
Yeah, he's really good at doing it, and he walks with players. He was a former player, so he understands how this all works.
They seem to like him. He gets that it's supposed to be fun. He sort of takes the edge off the ultra seriousness of this whole thing, and yet he still asks great questions. Mm-hmm. He's great. He's great for the game. I'll say that too. What's his name, Limits? Do you know?
I don't know.
Yeah. Have you seen
him
before?
It's the NBC announcer who, the name escapes me right now, but he's somebody will let us know on.
My other random observation is these little chicken salad things with the different compartments are unbelievable, Bob. Look at this. Grapes in one, cheese cubes in another, crackers, and then the chicken salad is in the fourth compartment.
Don't give that to City Limits over there. He may throw up, given how his pizza's still resonating in the body, which is
such bad pizza. Is it Smiley Kaufman?
Yes.
Smiley Kaufman. Yeah.
No.
No?
No, Smiley Kaufman. No, that's not him. He works for the Golf Channel.
Yeah.
Ah, darn it.
But you can graze on these Smiley the whole Kaufman day, is, Bob. That's the thing. Yeah. You graze on them the whole day and you're never really hungry. And they're not expensive and they're relatively healthy. You agree?
Well, good for you.
The Johnson Wagner?
That could be it.
Three texters all said it, so. Yeah.
Johnson Wagner, there you go.
I see him only on the Golf Channel, so I don't see a lot of what goes on, but when he's on, he's very good at it.
I really, really enjoy his work. All right, Pirates, 412-928-9370. Man, I heard a great question from Adam Crowley this morning. I'm going to repeat that coming up, but first, let's hit the lines here. Limits, who do we got?
It's Nick in Sacramento, but instead, he's in Hilton Head.
Hey, Nick, what's up?
First of all, I love it, man. I'm pretty pumped up being as close to Pittsburgh, being a native. And, hey, listen, the shortstop drafting, I know you've been talking about it for the last, off and on the last part of the show. So we drafted all these 18-year-olds. I love it. But you've had, what, three or four 18-year-olds, like you said, I agree with you. Nothing against those young prospects. They just drafted. But, man, when are we going to get that bat? Are we going to get active, hopefully, in this buying market? I hope it happens. I don't know, what do you guys think of J.J. Bladé? I know you talked about Brent Rooker. I'm still thinking about Bladé. Is he better than Taylor Ward at this point to bring him in instead? And lastly, what I want to leave with you with is on if they go two innings with Skeens, I mean, how does that fare for, like, the other players as far as the pitches? Is they going to screw up? I mean, they didn't even worry about that. They try to get everybody to play. But I would love to see two innings. They have to go through the order, you know. I don't know. I guess I'm kind of speechless because this whole thing is amazing. And the $700 million contract that Otani has, would Skeens be the first $1 billion man down the road? I know we're thinking way ahead here when I say that.
That's way I'd be hard-pressed to think of anything like that. Just because, again, Otani does it two different ways. He's going to be paid to pitch as well.
Yeah. So, thanks for the call, Nick.
No, but his point about getting a bat is important now because they do have to do that. You would hate to go through this season and end up you miss by one game of getting in. And it's because if you're not, you know, being proactive here.
Yeah,
I would hate to hear that. I would hate to see that.
Bladé is an interesting case. He's got some power. He's got a ton of doubles. He's got, what, 11 homers or so, but he's
Rooker's
in a
pretty good
horrible
too.
Slump. Really a two-month slump for Bladé, and he's been brutally bad.
Well, you could say the same about a lot
July.
Of guys right now.
I know. Maybe you buy low.
That could help you. Yeah, absolutely. That could help you. If you're the Pirates, you say, hey, this guy's struggling right now. I know he has potential, but I want to see some results. As a result, I'll give you this guy, not this guy.
Sawinski's OPS is like 250 points higher than this guy this month.
That puts things in perspective. The other thing I'll say is there are going to be a number of people wanting these guys.
I know.
So that will drive things up, I would imagine, right? Oakland controls a lot of what goes on, and so does Chicago White Sox.
Next.
Here's Brandon in Philadelphia.
What's up, Brandon?
Hey, guys.
Let me ask you a question, Brandon. Do you live in Philadelphia?
Yes, but born and raised in Pittsburgh.
Who designed the roads around there? I drove back from Cape May. I took Turnpike West. I thought I was going to be on the Turnpike, and again, for about 45 miles before and right after Philly, I'm in bumper-to-bumper traffic on the turnpike because there's people, the way they designed it, there's people entering from the left. They're entering from the right. It's horrible. Have you guys been there?
It is horrible. It is horrible. It's not like driving out there, I'll tell you that.
Man, Bob, have you experienced that?
I've driven through there to get to New York when we've driven that way. But I don't know which way you're talking about, so I don't pay a lot of attention. I just
from the beach to Pittsburgh through Philly. That's what I'm talking about, if you want to call it through Philly. The roads absolutely stink, and whoever designed them is an idiot. And how are they still working? How are they still working on the turnpike from Philly to Pittsburgh? They've been doing that since I came here in 1989, and they charge exorbitant rates. I'm tired of the whole turnpike thing.
I feel you. Every time I drive back for a Steelers game, it's a pain in the butt, I'll tell you that.
Is there an alternate route?
I don't think so. I think that's the quickest way, unless you want an eight-hour drive.
I might take one to avoid the toll. the whole thing stinks, Bob. Have you been on the turnpike lately?
Only to go, La Trobe and, if you're going
to
Ligonier, that area.
That's
but not,
easy.
Yeah, not all that way, no.
I'll tell you a little trick I learned, if you're interested.
Sure.
Coming back, I didn't take Monroeville to get back to my house here in Greentree. I kept going and got off at 28 near New Kent and came right down 28. It did because I didn't have to wait at the Squirrel Hill Tunnel for an hour. Thank you.
That's another roadblock that always seems to occur, right?
Take that little tip, Brandon. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Sir.
Yeah.
Nah, no worries. I just want to say I hope Bob Nutting realizes that he has a chance with Paul Skeens and the couple pieces that we got, that he has a chance to have the best team in Pittsburgh based on the trajectory of the Penguins and the Steelers coming up. And if you have the best team in Pittsburgh, you're going to make a lot of money, Bob Nutting. So what do you guys think he needs to do over the next, trade deadline next year or so?
Well, I had this conversation
in Pittsburgh sports.
I had this conversation yesterday with a friend of mine, Brandon, and I appreciate the call. You're a wonderful man. You agree with that much, Bob?
Yes.
Does Bob Nutting realize or does he think that would he agree that fronting some money here would be a great idea to make more on the back end with packed houses and exciting games and maybe playoff games? Like, is that a risk that he's worth taking? Take on a contract, do something.
Yeah, I mean, he said he was going to do that, right? Wasn't that the narrative that came out?
Yeah, and then the story came out that people internally weren't happy that made everything look bad.
Because they were then undermined. If they don't do anything, it looks like it's their fault.
What did you make of, I missed this story when I was gone, the lawmakers criticizing the Pirates' spending and competitiveness. What did you make of that?
I'm not surprised because, again, it's the results matter. Business matters. Trying to get people into town matters. All of that matters to people who are, in a nice situation that got help from the local, government to try to get this whole thing moving. You expect something back in return, and so far it hasn't happened.
Make the playoffs. That's what I would say. I remember.
That's why you're in a position now with that extended wild card to actually do this.
I remember having a conversation with Frank Coonley, where the whole thing about, what was the stroll in? Was that the little controversy up there? Remember the stroll in where, I forget what it was. All the BS stories that become big because the Pirates never win disappeared when they won.
Oh,
so
absolutely.
I had a conversation with him crossing the street when it was like Wrigley Field down there at some point in 2013, with thousands of people, and I said, sort of half jokingly, see, Frank, I haven't seen any stroll-in stories lately. Everything's gone. None of it matters because you're winning.
Winning does everything. It makes all those stories go away, period. Nobody's talking about stuff like that. But that's what you have to do. You're within striking distance, and you have a team that has pitching that is actually better than most of the teams, if not all the teams you're dealing with in that wild card situation.
Yes. Would it kill them to go out and get a rental player for one really good prospect? And take on whatever the prorated amount is of that person's contract the rest of the year? Would that not be a worthwhile risk to take when your payroll's so low already? Come on.
I think so. Greg Lenzi on Twitter says this: no way I trade pitching for marginal hitting Everyone wants pitching. It can disappear overnight. I keep all my pitching. This team is not ready. Do you think this team is not ready?
No, and that's the view that they may take, unfortunately. If you have Paul Skeens in this pitch, listen, going into the second half of the season, from top to bottom, from your one starter to the end of your bullpen, the Pirates may have the best pitching staff in all of baseball. How do you like that, Bob? The bullpen, I think, has a chance to be just locked down in the second half. Bednar's back. Holderman has had his struggles. I think he's really good. Chapman, Borecki, Nicholas, Majinski. You've got long guys back there now. This has a chance to be the best bullpen in the game in the second half of the season. The rotation we already know about.
Majinski's really put it together,
too. So I don't know what this guy's talking about. It sounds like he's parroting. Are we going to hear from Ben Cherington later?
Yes, we will.
It sounds like he's parroting what a GM would say. You know, behind closed doors, we're not really ready yet. What do you mean?
They also have to get
healthy. What do you mean you're not ready? Who?
Jared Jones won't pitch until the beginning of August.
That's fine.
Maybe later. Falter seemingly is going to be okay.
That's fine.
Week after the break.
They have Keller. They have Skeens. Gonzalez is back and looking in form. And Ortiz has been great. So what's the problem? They're going to be fine. And the idea that we're not ready yet is such a defeatist attitude. They're more than ready. They're more than ready to win a playoff series.
Now, would you keep Aroldis Chapman around, or would you trade him to get another piece and then add to the bullpen?
That's a good question, Bob.
Yeah, because he's going to be gone, and there are people. But then again, he seems to, you know, his problems have not been as big. He's been pretty efficient.
Somebody wants to give me a professional bat for Aroldis Chapman, given the depth I just mentioned
and given
in the bullpen.
Fact that he's done after this year. They're not bringing him back, so...
I'm fine. I mean, that part of it is irrelevant to me. But if somebody wants to give me a bat for him because I have Holderman and Majinski and everybody else.
Yeah, I like their bullpen. I think potentially could be really good. I think.
Bless you.
Sorry, Bob.
That was an interesting sneeze. Your yelps are good. That's a high-pitched sneeze. I've never heard a high-pitched sneeze like that. It sounded like a mouse got into the microwave.
I'd also like to apologize to you, City Limits, for that.
Thank you.
What were you saying, Bob?
I don't know what I was saying, Joe. It threw me off.
Mouse got into the microwave?
That's what it sounded like.
What is happening here? Well, the Pirates are ready to win now. How can a fan call in? What'd he do? Text into the show? Well, they're not ready to win yet. They need a little more spending flexibility. Our goal here long term is to be competitive. That's a fan. My God, have we been brainwashed to that point? They're a game and a half out of a wild card with the biggest star in baseball and maybe the best pitching staff in all of baseball right now. When will you be more ready than that?
I think that was it, didn't it?
That was it.
You're quick with those triggers back there, City Limits.
When are they going to be more ready, Bob?
Didn't that sound like a mouse in a microwave? Like if you went in there and it shocked
them. Let's hear that again. If you put the microwave on high and that's animal cruelty.
I've never seen a mouse in a microwave.
I'm not suggesting.
You almost trapped
saying,
me into an animal cruelty situation.
I'm saying that's.
You're not advocating. You're saying if it happened, that's what it would sound like.
The sound it would make.
Right.
And why are we so defensive now? You know what I meant. I didn't mean it.
Because I don't want animal. Animal rights activists.
No animal
the window.
Cruelty. We don't need PETA, right?
Yeah.
Saying anything to us?
What was I saying? Well, people have been brainwashed. It's unbelievable to hear some people talk about the Pirates. It really is. Like, you're supposed to be way in the opposite direction.
Right. Yes.
Go out and get the best player and go out and get Ohtani for Ryan Borecki. That's what you're supposed to be like.
You know, what happens is it beats you down over the years. You're so used to certain things and you can't let yourself go and think positively about it. So
they go into a playoffs plus baseball, and Billy Bean said this in Moneyball, that the playoffs are just, they're a lottery. They're a crapshoot. It's not really baseball in terms of the whole thing with the sport is, can you survive and thrive over time? That's why they have a 162 game season. When you start the playoffs, Denny Doyle can be your MVP. Mm-hmm. They could start a playoff series tomorrow against the Dodgers and Michael A. Taylor could be the best guy on the field for five games.
Jack Sawinski gets two magnificent home runs that win games. All of a sudden, you forget everything that happened in the regular season.
If they were the last wildcard team right now, they'd play Milwaukee. We know they can beat Milwaukee. They just beat Milwaukee.
But they're not ready yet. They're not quite ready yet. Give them a couple years. And you know what I mean? I agree with you.
Somebody might run down Milwaukee in the Central.
Yeah, they're struggling a little bit.
Whether it's St. Louis, I don't think the Pirates can.
I don't think St. Louis is that.
I don't either.
I have warts on St.
Their
whole
pitching
staff.
I don't care who they play.
They're 34 years old and over.
Like negative 40.
I don't care who they would play. If they could get to a seven-game series, they would start Skeens, Keller, potentially Jones.
Well, that's your three-game series, and I don't see them losing two out of three with those three guys on the mound.
And then here's the one thing about their lineup. Even though it has stunk for a large portion of the season, almost everybody in it has done really good things at one time or another. So in a playoff situation, Key Brian Hayes could be the MVP. What do you have, eight hits in this last series?
Yeah.
To me, he's the most important guy in the second half. Let's talk about this, Bob. I don't even know what we're talking about now. What are we talking about?
We're talking about what the Pirates should do at the deadline, and there's going to be pros and cons. A lot of people take a negative approach as if they're not ready yet.
Oh, and Crowley's question.
I will say this. You know, it looks like, and based on the last couple of games, that Key Brian Hayes, they need him to really heat up. He's one guy we haven't talked a lot about. We focus on Sawinski and Henry Davis and Michael A. Taylor and everybody else. But Joey Bart's done a good job coming in, making some big plays, big hits. But I think if Key Brian Hayes can somehow get back to anywhere close to where he was last year when he was on his hot streak, that would make things a little easier. And Palacios, I asked this question at the beginning of the year, where is Joshua Palacios? I know he got injured, but when he wasn't injured, I wondered where he was.
Piguero above Triolo, I might add.
The only thing I'll say about Triolo is he is so efficient fielding. No matter
so
where
was Mario Mendoza, and they named a line after him, Bob.
Touche, Joe.
Thank you, Bob.
And there's reports out, obviously, the Pirates are looking for an outfielder. I think everybody knows that. But also about an infielder that the Pirates are potentially looking around to try to acquire. I can't remember who said it. It might have been Robert Murray. Where would this infielder play? Nick Gonzalez is at second. Rowdy Tellez, you're not moving him off first. Cruz, obviously, and Hayes. I would think that this would signal the end of Jared Triolo for a little bit.
Just a bat. Two bats. Two professional bats. Please. But the idea that they're not ready to me is ludicrous. In fact, they may never be more ready. Do you know why? For the 8 trillionth time?
Pitching.
Keller, and I know Jones has a lat situation right now. You never know when Jones, Keller, and Skeens will all be healthy and at the height of their powers at the same time again. You can't even guarantee it'll ever happen again. So in that respect, they'll never be more ready than they are right now. Bob?
I think at some point, though, the second half of the season, this is what I would hate to see, but you may see because it's a game of ups and downs. Rowdy Tellez has been really good and really hot lately. So has Brian Reynolds. Normally in these situations, you don't see that consistently all the way through the rest of the year. You're going to have some dips in there. That's why it's important that they have others, step up or bring in someone who can help too. But you know what I'm saying, Joe?
Yeah.
I don't expect Brian Reynolds to hit at this level all the way through the rest of the season like it's automatic. He shows you this. You know it's in there. But there's going to be ups and downs like in any major leaguer. We've talked about some of these Julys, the OPSs of guys you saw, Blade and Luis Robert and everybody else. And Tellez may revert back to that too. Again, it's just a long season. So I think they have to insulate themselves. That's another reason why I would want somebody just to make sure that I have options if things go bad for somebody.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got
got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
This season, Instacart has your back to school. As in, they've got your back-to-school lunch favorites like snack packs and fresh fruit. And they've got your back-to-school supplies like backpacks, binders, and pencils. And they've got your back when your kid casually tells you they have a huge school project due tomorrow. Let's face it, we were all that kid. So first, call your parents to say, I'm sorry. And then download the Instacart app to get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes all school year long. Get a $0 delivery fee for your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bob, what do you miss most about Ron?
I miss the fact that he likes to laugh. And when he laughs, he lets it all hang out. It's a very noticeable laugh.
I was just thinking the same exact, that was going to be my answer, is when he was of a mood, he
I mean, it was a hearty,
enjoyed himself.
Hearty laugh.
A hearty.
Thank you, City Limits. You're right on cue.
It really does sound like a combination of a jolly old St. Nicholas and somebody who has definitely had a lot to drink that night.
And I think he got, looser and happier right before he left. It was pre-quitting elation, right?
Yeah, and now he's really embraced the, the on-your-own retirement lifestyle, whatever that is, because I still don't know what that is for him. I know he walks a lot every day, but, you know, he just does what he does.
What do you miss, Limits?
I miss Ron not knowing my name. Where he would walk up and down the hallway. I'd be like, hi, Ron. You know, because, you know, growing up, you're always read Ron's stuff. And, you know, you hear him and you're like, oh, man, Ron Cook. Like, hi, Ron. I'd say hi to him every time I'd see him in the hallway. He'd look at me. He'd say the same thing every single time. He'd say, okay, now. When I told him, hello, Ron, how are you? Okay, now. That's all.
I think he might have favored Sean, don't call me Seth Meyers, over you. I think that might have been the case. And I don't know if he was like, you know,
he'd make it clear who his favorites were.
Yeah, you know, if he was like Nick Saban, where he wanted to be part of the succession plan at producer. I don't know if he wanted to make that call, but if he had, you wouldn't be here.
Oh,
not that he didn't like you. He did. He thought you were a jolly little man. But I think
for jolly old St. Nick, thought I was the jolly man.
I think he was a big, and so am I, by the way, a big Sean Don't Call Me Seth Meyers guy, but Sean has other commitments, right?
Right. Yeah.
That could have been a battle with you and him if Sean was available full time.
Very possible.
Might have gone down to the wire.
Yeah, very possible.
But I too miss Ron's laugh, Bob. I really do.
Yeah. I guess he's doing well. I haven't really heard much from him, so sounds to me like he's either busy.
No news is good news there.
Or just chilling out and not worrying about another thing.
When I saw him, the weight of the world had been lifted off his shoulders. Just the weight of you know,
yeah, daily
50
deadlines.
Years of deadlines. Yeah,
just it does beat you up. I don't think there's any question.
50 years of deadlines lifted off his shoulder. Can we hear that jolly laugh one more time? Limits. It just makes you want to laugh, doesn't it?
It really does.
Do you think we'll see him again, Bob? And where will you see him? In what venue? Like, I may see him in Florida because I plan to go once a year.
Yeah, I don't know that he goes many places. He may come and visit Taylor, wherever she may be.
He may go to Domenico's now and again.
Does he come back here at all? I know. I probably, there's no reason for him to.
It wouldn't surprise me if he does sneak in there for a night. It wouldn't surprise me. Let me just say that.
Yeah. I don't know. I'd like to see him again at some point.
It was a loss to the local sports scene. Remember when Sam Nover left?
Oh, sudden Sam. I remember Sam.
He was a treat, wasn't he?
He was a treat, yes.
He was one of the few old school guys who took me under their wing when I came here. You didn't. He did.
Oh, please. Just because I patted you on the head in an elevator, you're holding me.
At the time, you weren't really old school.
No,
yet.
I was still.
Talking late 90s.
No, he was. Yeah, Sam was really good about it.
Sam took an interest in my career. I'll never forget that.
Yeah. He was. I've never met anyone quite like Sam. You know, he was one of those people who demanded excellence in everything. And that included if you went to a restaurant and everything wasn't right, he'd make sure the waitress or waiter would know.
Oh, really?
Excuse me, ma'am. That's not what I ordered. Please take it back and have it done medium, not medium well.
Wow.
Stuff like that.
He
it made me laugh.
He seemed to appreciate my interviewing skills, that I wasn't afraid to ask a hard question, according to him. He's like, you asked the right questions. And that was a big compliment coming from him. Big.
It's a really big
Who compliment. Was your mentor coming in here?
Well, I've had a few, like, over the years. John Sanders, who I first worked with at KDKA, do you remember John?
Who later went to ESPN?
Well, he did Pirates play-by-play.
Oh,
when we
okay.
Had it.
Yeah, no,
yeah,
I
he's
don't.
He's done some ESPN.
I remember
for
the
sure.
name. Yeah.
Yeah, he was big on that. You know, I remember Stan Saverin was really important to me and his
me too.
Willingness. Yeah. Bill Hillgrove, same way. You could approach those guys and they would tell you exactly.
He's been great to me as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Most of these
so
guys.
So all these guys who, and I think if you, you know, to me, I want to, you know, pay that forward to others who come to our station if I can and try to help out because I know, you know, you can't forget.
That's
where
why
came
I've been
from.
So helpful with Destiny's Child.
Yeah. I mean, it's important. To, you
seriously,
know,
getting
to
him on
out.
The air, his own nickname. Can we hear the music for that as you play it low as me and Bob continue to converse? This is what we bring in Andrew Destin to every week, Bob.
Destiny's Child music?
Yeah. What was your relationship like with Myron?
It was good, not long enough, to be honest. He's another one who was very helpful to me. I had the same experience with Bob Prince. When he, you know, he back in the day, before he got sick and died, he had a role on KDK as a commentator. He would come in. Here we go. Destiny's Child. But I would play golf with him once at St. Clair
wow.
Country Club.
What was that like?
That was pretty cool.
Golf Although, with the Gunner.
But he told stories that were, you know, amazing stories that, you know, remember them all. Almost a lot of funny ones, a lot of interesting stories that he's encountered over the years. So
that is a memory for a lifetime.
Yeah. When you've been around, that's what happens. And you got to cherish those because you never know when they're going to end. Right.
How about Mike Lang?
Same thing. Mike was always, I tell you what, Mike was one of those guys too, who I think he really liked it when he first, you know, when we were doing, he used to do commentaries also on KDK. We had hockey, you know, on KDK before all the cables. So back in the 1991-92, there were games on, you know, we did post game shows from there. We did all that stuff, just like baseball. You know, when CBS had the baseball deal, that meant that NLCS with the Braves was on our air, and we followed up with, you know, and that's why I was down in Atlanta at Fulton County, and that bottom of the ninth occurred. And we had to go in the locker room before the game was over. There were no TVs in there back then. All you heard was
champagne in there already?
Everything. And then they had to move it.
Oh, my God.
And you didn't know why.
I remember that story.
Yeah, so, yeah, you meet so many great people.
Wait, so were you watching on a monitor?
No, there was no monitor back. Now they have monitors everywhere.
So how did you know what happened? Just word of mouth?
I heard the tomahawk chop quite a bit. The inning lasted way too long, and I was asking questions down there and, you know, was told what happened. So I really didn't see a lot of it. And the problem with that is you had to go in and ask questions after that of something I didn't see really the end of.
Wow, I've had that experience.
Yeah, and so you just ask questions. So,
because there are times you're in these press boxes where it takes 20 minutes to get from there to the locker room.
Yeah,
so
know.
If you're going to be there in time for the locker room thing, you got
to
go with time
right.
left in the game.
You have to leave early, so.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.